Taylor. Good morning, my dear friend.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, except for it's a little cold out here in Richmond.
It's February, and you're no longer in California.
Yeah, I know. Keep reminding
that's
me.
That's the way that's supposed to be.
Is that the way it's supposed to be? 38 degrees?
Huh. Yeah, in February. Now, you know, late March, you know, when spring comes, you can expect that the temperatures will start to increase. But
you are no longer
in Kansas. you are definitely not in Kansas anymore. Not happening. California weather don't apply to the rest of the country.
And don't you have a show to do?
I do, but I believe you just complained, and I was trying, you know, to help you to get over it.
Well, you're not helping.
You moved from the West Coast to the East Coast. Nobody told you to do that.
And I will talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye. I'm kicking myself off your show. Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Good morning, everybody. How are you? How are you? This cold February.
Yes, cold.
For most of the country, because the rest of us know what winter means, and we're not spoiled like William. But we're so glad to have you with us. I'm Ann Wooten Taylor. I'm the CEO of Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries, and this is the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show. Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries is a nonprofit organization. We teach the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. We do that in a variety of ways, including our 12-week health and fitness course. Yeah, we'll have another one again coming up in August, and we'll let you guys know in plenty of time so that you can get registered for it. But there's so many other ways that we'd love to support you. You can read our weekly blog. Yes, I did update the blog for those of you who've missed it. If I have a weekend off, I usually take the weekend off from the blog too, but there is a new entry on the blog. So please do go by eatingasanactofworshipministries.org for today's installment. And you also, want to follow us on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as Pinterest and LinkedIn. For those of you who are like me, who, you know, like the golden oldies when it comes to social media apps, and you want to tune in to every day, because on those particular platforms, what we do is we like to provide the health and fitness trends, give you diet and exercise tips, those types of things. We want to support you in every way possible, including with what we have coming up next, which is our weekly motivation. For those of you who tune in on a regular basis, you know our motivation is designed to encourage you to stay the course if you've been doing well on your health and fitness journey, to inspire you to get up and try again if you fell down somewhere along the way. And we want to motivate those of you who haven't been able to take charge of your health and fitness to do so through Jesus Christ. So today's motivation is entitled Pursue, Overtake, and Recover. You may have heard it said that people, especially women, try to attain impossible standards of beauty, especially as it relates to health and fitness. While there is truth in the statement, it is paradoxically also false. Attaining a healthy and fit body is possible, but the question is, are you willing to fight for it? When you start to see your health and fitness issues from God's perspective, like Adam and Eve, your eyes are open to the enemy's deception, and you realize that something precious has been stolen from you. Suddenly, God's light illuminates the truth of the matter, as if you've been standing in a darkened room. You can see that the enemy has not only stolen your body's flattering physique, but he's also stolen your self-confidence, your self-esteem, and your positive self-image. In many cases, he's cost you friends, romantic attachments, and taking your loved ones prematurely due to an obesity-related illness or an eating disorder. In the worst cases, he's also stolen your health, and you're dependent upon drugs to extend your life, therapy to learn how to walk or talk again, or other people to help you perform even minor daily activities. Unlike Adam and Eve, this revelation is not necessarily a fatal one for us. In their case, disobedience meant immediate spiritual death and physical death later. It's actually the opposite for us. In terms of health and fitness and every other sin, the revelation brings about spiritual life when we repent through Christ, and an extended physical life as we turn from our sin and obediently eat and drink for his glory. That is, it will if we don't wait until it's too late.
$10.
Best of all, we get another benefit that was denied
every year.
They could never return to the Garden of Eden. But God says to you the same thing he said to David after the enemy stole from him. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, both of David's wives and the family members of his men had been kidnapped during a raid while David was away from home. Ziklag was set on fire and burned. However, David wisely asked God whether or not he should pursue the enemy before he took up his weapons to fight. God's answer was yes. I exhort you today in the name of Jesus that victory is yours just as it was granted to David. You will lose the weight and keep it off for the rest of your days. You will finally be free of your eating disorder. But you must first be willing to put on your war clothes, show up on the battlefield, and fight for what's rightfully yours. Through Christ, take up your spiritual weapons and pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail, recover all. If you're ready to pursue the enemy, overtake him, and recover your health and fitness through Christ, purchase your copies of the Eating as an Act of Worship workbook and the Eating as an Act of Worship Teacher's Edition online today at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. In the books, you'll learn the biblical principles regarding the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. Read our weekly blog for motivation to stay healthy and fit through Christ, and follow us daily on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest for recipes and diet and exercise tips. Don't forget to tune into our syndicated radio show on iTunes, Spotify, the DFW Den radio station, Studio W Buzz radio station, and Victory KVDW 100.9 FM, 95.3 FM, and 1530 AM in Little Rock, Arkansas for interviews and health and fitness trends. Lastly, make your tax-deductible donation to Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries at www.eatingasanactofworshipministries.org. All right, everybody, that's your motivation for today. We hope and pray it encourages you to stay on the journey if you've been doing well. I know January is the month where we all get revved up, and then by February, most people decided, you know what? No, don't let the enemy do that to you this year. Stick with it through Christ, okay? And if you did slip and fall, know that that's not the end. There are lots of battles along the way to ending the war, defeating the enemy. If you've lost one battle this week, get up, pick up your weapons, fight again this week, and don't stop. Just keep on going until you get the victory. For those of you who's like, you know what, I'm not even pretending this year to make a resolution, I'm just going to stay there. Don't do it. God says that you will be victorious. Just take up your weapons, put your war clothes on, and watch him fight for you when you get up on the battlefield. All right? All right, folks. We've got a great show lined up for you today. I know I've said it a bunch of times, and I'm going to say it again a bunch more times, because I was invited to participate in an awesome collaboration called the Love Manifesto Anthology. And I invited the authors who participated in the book anthology on the show so that you guys will get to know their parts and how they feel about it and a bit more about them, so you can figure out, yeah, I need to go ahead and get that book, all right, because it is on sale now. So today we have with us one of the authors, Ms. Sherry Leopold. She's the CEO of Option Creators, a 25 network marketing veteran, a mentor, and leader of the Stop Self-Bullying movement. Oh my gosh, we have got to talk about that. She's the founder of the Wow Warrior platform, publisher of Wow Warrior magazine, and host of two TV shows, Wow Warrior and Outside the Box with Sherry Leopold, and a 10-time best-selling author. Wow. I cannot wait to unpack all of this. Welcome to the show, Ms. Leopold. How are you today?
Oh, thank you so much, Anne. I am amazing. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Judging by your resume, you definitely are amazing. How do you do it?
You know, I think, like with all things, if you come in service and you serve others, the opportunities just continue to evolve because mm-hmm. you come with the right servant heart. And that's as a leader, that's what I want to be known for, is how I helped someone. So.
Amen. Tell us a little bit about Option Creators. What's that?
So that's my corporation, and I actually called it Option Creators because I feel like I have so many different options and ways that I can help people mm-hmm. be successful in their mm-hmm. life, their career, etc. So I didn't want to pigeonhole myself, so to speak, into one thing. So mm-hmm. I like to think of myself as, listen, let's talk about what your options are. I'll see what way I can help you and what thing that I do that can help you meet your needs to help you go farther, faster, which is one of my lines from my Wow Warrior platform. Everything I do in Option Creators is designed for you to stand up and stand out as that unrepeatable miracle.
Wow. I love the title, not just Option Creators, but Wow Warrior. How did you come up with that one?
So in the book that I wrote, Self-Bullying, What to Do When the Bully is You, which is what started the Stop Self-Bullying movement, mm-hmm. My wow, when I said the title the first time, mm-hmm. I didn't even have a word written. The mm-hmm. person that I told, the first person that I told was a friend of mine, and she went, wow, I can't wait to read it. I had a silent chuckle and went, wow, I can't wait to write it.
I know, right? I know.
I didn't say it out loud, but I did actually mm-hmm. internally chuckle. Mm-hmm. But that wow kept coming up, and like this was like a moment that people mm-hmm. were like, ooh, it was a pause moment, right? Mm-hmm. But what it's evolved into, wow has been such a central word to everything that mm-hmm. I've been doing. So I like to think of that word as it has multiple meanings. And in the self-bullying movement, it really means war on words.
Wow.
Warrior.
Love so it.
We're constantly in that battle, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
When he is on our side, we can always win. However, we have to be consciously aware of those words that go around in our head. So the other side of that is, which has helped what led into the Wow Warrior, platform, which is really a visibility platform. It's a celebration mm-hmm. platform, and it also stands for Woman of Worth.
Oh, wow. So
that it, yeah, wow. See,
I know. I mean, you just can't help but say it.
I know, it's inherent, and it is it's always been one of my favorite words, like, wow, mm-hmm. you know, and so that is really kind of the undercurrent, if you will, is the Woman of Worth, a woman who absolutely knows her value and mm-hmm. knows who she is and is willing to lend a hand and inspire other women to stand up and stand out mm-hmm. as the unrepeatable miracle that they are, with no qualifiers. You don't have to lose the 40 pounds. You don't have to get the high paying job. You don't have to have the perfect mate or the mm-hmm. perfect job. Exactly as you are today is the miracle that is you, which is
wow.
a one of a kind.
Wow. You just cannot help to say it. It's a wow moment. Regardless of where you are on the platform, the self-bullying, who would have thought, you know what I'm saying? Because it's the internal dialogue for me, I already know. It's been that way for years, and how to turn that off. And then being a woman of worth and a war on the words. You really just can't help to say it. It's almost like a revelatory moment.
It is. And you know, I've created a community around that wow word. Mm-hmm. And in my logo, it says, I am a wow warrior. It's a reminder in that I am statement, which we know mm-hmm. both know obviously how powerful that is, mm-hmm. but is taking ownership of your ability to plug in your own power cord and be all that you were created to be right today, exactly right. as you are. And I really focus so much on self-love and really dialing that in, because I feel like people cannot outlove you, right?
Right.
And God loves you. He made you exactly as you are. And you always have to remind yourself, if I say those things to myself, I am saying to him that he made me poorly. That's that reminder. It's like,
wow.
Okay, that's a mental check right there for exactly. most people, at least faith-based people, because that's that moment where you say, well, ooh, I would not say that.
I would not say that to the master. No. So,
and
who am I?
I am God, right? Like,
right, right.
The thing. You are speaking when you speak to yourself, you are speaking to God. So. Wow.
You know, and we're not even talking about the book that we're here to talk about yet. We'll probably have you back to talk about the other thing. So I can see why Dr. Crossfield chose you to be a part of this. How did you two come to know each other?
Oh, gosh. I think my business strategist, Dr. Tylisha Johnson, I think is maybe who in passing we met somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the exact direct connection. I think we reached out and just had a communication about something because we were in a mutual group, I think, on social media. And I was like, her heart just goes before her. And the self-love and the platform of her with just being so focused on love and being loving and all of that really speaks to me, as obviously we just discussed. So it seemed a natural fit. So I was very honored when she reached out and asked me if I would contribute to the book and be part of this project.
Wow. That's another wow moment, because I remember how I met her. We met on social media, and I was anti-social media before the Lord made me start eating as an act of worship ministries. But it's been such a blessing. It's how I met William, bless his heart, through Studio W Buzz, how I met Dr. LaTangela Crossfield and came to be a part of the Love Manifesto Manthology and so many other awesome people, because I never would have even met you and known about your ministry had it not been for God's saying, okay, yes, I know you think it's evil, but I'm still there.
I was like to say, I told somebody just like 2 days ago, you know, when people point to social media and say it's terrible, it's this or it's that, mm-hmm. I always say that, you know, that's a moment to take a moment of pause and say, wait a minute, how am I showing up on there and what am I attracting? Because I don't have that in social media, because I very clearly curated my network in there. Exactly. I have protected my personal peace and my belief system, if you will, right. by creating it filled with people who live in love and walk in light. Like, right. Mm-hmm. That's the curation of the network has really, change that for me. I don't see a lot of negativity. I don't see things like that. I immediately unfollow it if I do, because I don't flourish in that.
Exactly.
And that's myself.
And that's the thing. It's a learning process. You can find the communities that you want to be a part right. of online. And you can stay away from the ones you don't like.
And it reminds me of one of my favorite sayings, Anne, is I always say kids had it right when they say, you're not the boss of me. And it's right. I'm the boss applesauce. I learned it in a preschool thing many years ago. I'm the boss applesauce. I'm the boss of me. I decide who I put in my network. I decide how I feel about the way people act and respond. And I make the choices, you know,
right,
and
right.
choices create change. Another one of my favorite sayings. And when you change your choices change.
Awesome. Awesome.
There you go.
Now, your piece of the book, I know you said this was your favorite topic, love, obviously. Yes. You were talking about what particular topic in the book?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
The Love Manifesto Anthology, you know, we all were given.
Yes, mine, I wrote on platonic love, which for me, platonic love is really, defined at the very core, really two people who are in relationship with each other, mm-hmm. without any physical or sexual expectation. It is sort of like a true heart connection. Mm-hmm. That's what I define a platonic relationship as.
And I know people love to focus on, pun not intended, everybody. We like to focus on, let's put it that way, romantic entanglement. But I think society doesn't put as much emphasis as they should on the importance of platonic relationships. What do you think?
I agree with that. And I think the reality is if you look at the whole picture of all of our relationships that we have, the romantic relationships for most of us, it's an itty bitty tiny slice. Now it can be like your whole world. That's not what I'm saying. It can be the most important relationship in your world, but it's one tiny slice. You have all these other relationships out here that get to be built to be thriving. And you know what? Even in a romantic partnership, typically that person, your significant other, whatever, they don't fulfill every single emotional need you have. You know, even like with your significant other, you may have different interests, you know, mm-hmm. like I love everything business. My husband's like, nope. You know, so like I don't spend too much time talking to him about that stuff specifically because mm-hmm. like I already know his mind is going somewhere else because it's just not his thing. Mm-hmm. So for us, like I have to have those people in those platonic relationships that I can go and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, or what do you think about this? Or you got time to talk to me. I'm having a down day, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I need some heart space from somebody who will give me the truth.
That brings up a funny story. I always tell my husband, you know, I can tell when my 5 minutes are up. I start to glaze over it. I'm like, okay, I've lost him now. Yes. He's thinking about something else. and it's funny the time I told him that, you know, he started paying more attention to himself and he just started laughing. He's like, it is about 5 minutes that I can take before it's over with. So what do you think people should really get about platonic relationships and their importance in their lives? What is it that we're missing?
You know, I think part of it is just the acknowledgement of the importance of them, really. They're really the cornerstone of our life. We have these really important relationships where we work. We have them in our social settings. We have them at church. We have them in a variety of different places that we commune with other people. And they really are a centering force. It's like I said, it's different than that romantic relationship. There are different things that you trust that population, if you will, that platonic friendship population. It's different conversations that happen over there. And I think the acknowledgement that they, the more really solid platonic friendships that you have, the more stable you will feel. I believe that's true. It's why, like they say, oh, I don't have a lot of friends. I just have like one. Mm-hmm. I think that we need a lot because people all have different types of perspectives. They are grounded in different ways. And sometimes they are really good at different things. We have to have a collection of those platonic relationships in order for us to feel completely grounded.
But what if you're not a people person? I mean,
go back to step one. Because here's how I feel about that, Anne. And it's a really great question. Mm-hmm. Because what I find is that sometimes when people say, I'm not a people person, mm-hmm. or something like that, what they're really saying in a different way is, I don't really want people to see the real me because they might not like me. Mm. I feel like that's a different way of saying that. Now, somebody might disagree with that, but I really believe that if we are feeling that insecurity or I'm not really about them, I think we have to stop for a moment and take the mirror and look at ourselves and have that conversation with the I am and understand, you know, what can I do to empower myself to love myself more? Because the more you love yourself, the more you can give of yourself to other people.
You know, we hear a lot of people talk about toxic relationships and needing to cut those people out, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's, you know, people in the workplace, you know, but those are a type of platonic relationship that you are having with someone. How do you deal with that? And should those people be cut out, or should you try to find a way to make the relationship more amicable between the two?
That's an excellent question, Anne. And I think there's maybe a couple layers to it. So first of all, you know, when we look at the word toxic, what are we really saying? Do they just stink up the atmosphere?
Right. Right.
Do they make my world sour? Like, right. Or is this, the MO they have everywhere they go? So there's some questions to ask around that word toxic. But if someone brings out in you what feels not good, that would to me qualify as toxic. So in my self-bullying, What to Do in the Bully Is You book, I talk about the farm, and a farm means friends and relatives matter. And they are your inner circle, the farmer. I call them your farm hands. Mm-hmm. So, you know, your farm hands are the ones that you never have this question about. And I just taught a class and we just did an exercise on this where there's like a circle, right? And that's your inner circle. Anyone that is toxic or doesn't bring out the best in you, or they just don't align with your fundamental core values, they have to go outside the circle. Now, does it mean you're not friends with them? No, because sometimes you're related to them.
Right.
That's right. Just real.
Exactly.
But they go outside the circle. They are not your very close inner circle that you go to. They have less contamination power outside the circle. This is you protecting your inner peace by putting your foot down and saying, you know, you have to be out here. I limit my time with you. I have to be mentally prepared. I have to have the armor of God on.
Amen. When I deal with you,
when I'm in your space,
right?
You don't got to dump them and never speak to them, because what happens is typically in their behavior, honestly, what really happens, they are sitting over here then thinking, well, she thinks she's too good for me. This is what the language that's going around in their head, when reality is I have to be good enough for me. Like, I have to be good for me. That's why you're over there. Mm-hmm. It's a self-protective measure. It is not really anything about them. They have to go deal with their own ish and their own stuff right over there. I get to protect myself with that circle and say, I'll see you when I'm capable and able to, you know, armor up and handle it so that it doesn't penetrate me and change me.
And, you know, that brings me to my next question, because, you know, there are a lot of people, I've had this conversation with people who've had, you know, family members who hurt them, friends who hurt them, you know, but everybody still thinks that family relationships are important. Having friends matters. And I'm not saying they don't matter, but why do platonic relationships matter so much? Is it, I think personally that there is a mental health component. There is an emotional health component, not to mention a physical component, which the pandemic was a huge indicator of why those relationships matter. Lots of people had a hard time in isolation.
Yeah.
But we'd like to hear from you. What do you think?
Well, I think they're fundamentally centering. That's why the relationships are so important. And I always say, even if your inner circle is small, that's where your, that inner circle is where your strongest platonic relationships are going to be. Like your coworker who you see every day at the coffee machine or whatever, that's still a platonic relationship, but it's not a close platonic relationship, right? I think what I'm really talking about is someone that you really feel a genuine love for as a person. Mm-hmm. So that is why I'm saying it's really a centering relationship. It's mm-hmm. someone that you can go to in full trust, mm-hmm. That if I tell you something in the break room that I'm not going to come out 2 hours later and there's going to be laughing or tittering or posters.
Exactly.
Or whatever, right? Like there's a very high level of trust in that. And I think that that is one of the things we need that, right? We mm-hmm. need those trusted confidants. I think also we need those trusted confidants and those platonic strong relationships because it allows us the space to love ourselves exactly as we are because those people accept us exactly as we are. And that's one of the reasons it's so critical. They will never expect you to change to make them happy. They will allow you the space to be you.
You know, you, when you talk about maintaining those relationships with people, you mentioned that saying their names, is important. Why?
You know, I'm kind of like, I have sort of some interesting thoughts around your name. I believe that we have that given name. It is the one thing, it's one of the very few things, if not the only thing that stays with you most likely from birth to death. It's that name. It's the first name, right? Mm-hmm. Because women sometimes change their last name and different things. We add letters to it, but it's that first name that's so important. And so I like to say, when I say, Anne, I'm so grateful to be here with you and talking about Love Manifesto. When I say your name, you know, I'm talking to your heart, like I'm talking to you because your name resonates with you. It literally gives you a bloom of energy and endorphin inside you to hear your name.
Wow. I am very particular about names too. Before I name my children, I pray about it. I mean, I didn't just want to give them any name because in the Bible, names are so important. Everybody's name had meaning. One of the names that everybody a few years back, well, I guess a couple of decades back, loved to talk about was Jabez, the prayer of Jabez and what his name meant and how it bothered him so much that he prayed about what his name meant and God to give him a different outcome in his life so that he was the opposite of what it meant. And I think that is so important because what you don't realize is when you're saying somebody's name, you are giving meaning to what their life is supposed to be about. At least it's the way I feel about it because that's a biblical principle, throughout the entire Bible. When you read about, I can't remember the man's name, but I do remember that his name meant fool and David was about to kill him for doing something foolish, but his wife who was wise saved his life.
Rise.
Pretty much as he was about to die. But it's that type of thing. So when you are saying somebody's name, I think it's an affirmation as to who they are and what the purpose of their life is supposed to be.
I agree. And I think it's also an affirmation of understanding of I see you, like you as a person, and I understand that I am speaking to you and I am connecting with you, Anne, right? Like as opposed to, you know, whoever. And I feel like it's a very personal, I don't know if I want to, kind of want to almost say thank you. It's a heart to heart acknowledgement when you use someone's name.
Exactly.
And I hate it if I mispronounce somebody's name that I'm interviewing. I'm like, I like have to stop sometimes and start over. And they're like, mm-hmm. no, it's not a big deal. Everybody is that. I'm like, no, it is a big deal because it is everything you are. It is you, and I have to get that part right. Exactly. I don't mind flubbing up and doing other things wrong. Never want to get your name wrong.
Exactly. And my first name is one of those names that people always get wrong. It's Renitha. And so I have been called so many things. Growing up in school, I had a teacher call me Roxanne. Like, first of all, there's not even one X in the name. Nowhere. Nowhere is there an X in my name. But,
Here you go.
Exactly. But it, you know, it happens. And I usually, especially if I get to talk to the guests beforehand, you know, before the show, try to ask them the correct pronunciation of their name so that I don't mess it up. Cause that is one of those things you just hate to do. It feels horrible when it happens. But you also mentioned that it's important to tell the people in the platonic relationships that you love them. And so in this day and age, you know, that gives some people what they call the cringe factor, the creepy factor. How do you do that in a way that's loving, as well as affectionate, but letting them know that this is still a platonic relationship. I'm not trying to hit on you or
I understand what you're saying. I think it maybe depends on the person. So if somebody is actually inside that circle, they probably understand your love language. But I think what you're saying is there is something to acknowledge that your love language might not match up with someone else's. So if mine is to express it with words and I say, oh my gosh, Anne, I just love you. Like that might make somebody else go, but, I think we have to be aware in our platonic relationships, not only what our own love language is, but those individuals, we have to understand what their reception mode is on that. So if that would make them cringe, we have to find a different way, which might be in a written word, or a message or using different language saying, you know, I appreciate you so much. That's still an expression of love without saying I love you. And I think if it feels a little weird to you, just know it probably is weird for them. If it feels weird for you, it's probably weird. Now, if they just say, oh, that's just Sherry, that's okay. That's their platonic love for you is that they just, even if it makes them feel like, ooh, weird, but they'll know that that's just me, right? And that's that acceptance thing that comes with those strongest platonic relationships. I'm going to let Sherry love people the way she does.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because I wrote on romantic love and how it's sometimes very hard for people who are looking at a person for the first time, let's say, and they're trying, and they think that it's a romantic feeling. They come later on to realize after a bad breakup that this should have been a platonic relationship. Do you have any recommendations for people, strategies for people about how to, tell when it's really just a platonic relationship? You may be drawn to somebody, but that doesn't mean it has to be romantic. Or any other strategies regarding platonic relationships?
It's an interesting question. I would actually say that for any romantic relationship, the foundation should be a platonic relationship. You should already have parked that person in one of your closest platonic relationships. Amen. They should be that trusted soul in your network. They should be that person. In my opinion, before you ever leap into the romantic, and the reason I say this is I remember when I was, it's a weird thing, but my husband and I were like doing a teen youth group and we were talking about romantic relationships. And so we were only married like I think 2 years or something like that, 3 years when we were doing this. But right. I said to them, you know, you can put the romantic, you know, physical love up on the pedestal if that's what you want. Mm-hmm. But I said, you know what? If you're in it for the long haul and something happens and one of you is unable or some reason you're unable to express that love that way, if you don't have the first one that I just said in the platonic relationship with that solid foundation based on all the things like trust and connection and compassion, if you don't have those things first, now it's like a house of cards.
Mm-hmm.
Take away that thing that was the initial attraction. Mm-hmm. This is why I always feel like it's way better to go from platonic and then make a joint decision to develop a romantic relationship. It's just how I've always felt. You have to completely love the person and outside of that particular piece, because someday you might find yourself faced with a health crisis or something where it doesn't allow for as much of that or that at all.
You know, I have sons, you know, and of course we teach them that it's up to the man to commit every step of the way. You make the commitment to, you know, approach the girl, be her friend, take it to the next level, ask her out or ask her to be your girlfriend, whatever the case may be. And so, you know, they'll tell us about girls they like or whatnot. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to tell you that the best relationships start out as friends. You know, so she said she wants to be friends. Don't take that as a, you know, bad thing. Be her friend. Right. You will probably find out that she will come to like you a whole lot more.
100% true.
Right.
Because a friend is somebody that you trust. That platonic relationship is somebody who you develop that implicit trust bond with, right? And they take you exactly as you are and aren't trying to change you.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows a space, to my mind, for love in that way to grow, because it's based on the solidity, if you will, of everything that's needed in a relationship foundation.
And it also shows you what you don't like. You know, my oldest son, experienced that for himself. You know, he joined a whole group just because this one girl was in it. And so it's like, well, you need to get to know her, you know, before you ask anything else. And she did one thing that really got on his nerves. He said, okay, I understand why you say I should be their friends first, because I don't like her anymore.
Yeah, I call that process and the sift and sort.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's a lot easier to find out who you should be friends with and who you should have a romantic relationship with if you slow down and take the time.
I think the process is exactly the same in platonic relationships. Mm-hmm. It's the same. It takes time and it takes getting to know each other. Before, you know, I don't know if you've had this experience where like you meet somebody and you're just like, oh, I just love everything about them. You feel so connected to them very quickly. Mm-hmm. And other people, it seems like it takes forever to kind of get to know them. They're a little more guarded. You know, it seems slower, but there are some people that you just meet and you feel like you've known them for 20 years.
Exactly. I truly believe, you know, folks love to talk about soulmates. I believe in my belief system, you know, the Bible makes it really clear that God is a spirit. And so he created us in his image. So we are spirits, like he is, where he's given us a spirit. But in my belief system, the soul came into being when sin came into being. So the spirit connects you to the divine and the soul connects you to the demonic. So soulmates, from my perspective, are those people that kind of feed that side of you. But people you connect with that are kindred spirits,
yes,
I believe are those who bring out the best in you, who have all those characteristics of love, because God is love and he is a spirit and he made us spirits of love in his image. So we have this tremendous capacity for love of people romantically, as well as family and in friend relationships, even people we work with.
Absolutely.
The blessing that we've been given to love other people and to have a communal relationship, you know, family relationship, romantic relationships with, it's a blessing, but we have proven over and over and over again that we as human beings mess up blessings. So can you, you know, talk about ways that we hurt or destroy our platonic relationships, those blessings in our lives of friends and, you know, family members and good coworkers, you know, where you make somebody leave a job who's excellent, you know, right. at what yes. they do.
Yes. So I think one of the things is at the top of the list is sort of an acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. And this kind of goes back to too, knowing someone's love language. If leaving a note on their desk saying, I appreciate you, I hope you have a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. And it's not a romantic thing. It's just a thing saying, you know, or might be, you know, you did a really good job on that project. I just wanted you to know that I noticed, mm-hmm. Or you did a great job, you know, and leaving notes, I think, is a really great idea. I think using, you know, social media messages, whatever personal messages is a way to sort of cement those relationships. We all need to hear it in different ways. Sometimes we need to hear it in voice. Sometimes we need to get that thoughtful little thing where you just send a little something, you know, mm-hmm. I saw this and thought of you, and you mail them, you know, they love bees and it's a little pin that's a bee, right? Like, here you go. Just wanted you to remind you to continue to be awesome. Right. I'm like corny that way. So that would be something I would actually do.
Well, I had an administrative assistant who was exactly like that. She would send me an email every morning, just saying, you know, I hope you have a blessed day, that type of thing. Loved her. She got a better paying job and moved on, and I'm happy for her, but I miss her. You know, she's one of the
people that... Yeah, my assistant does that every single day as well.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, you don't realize how much it'll mean to have somebody just say something so simple and so kind to you every single day. But we tend to mess up those blessings, whether, you know, we do it intentionally or not. You know, like for instance, say you, Sherry, told me something in confidence and I didn't think it was a big deal. So I was, you know, mentioning it to somebody else, was like, it's a little thing, but that doesn't mean from your perspective, it wasn't a huge thing.
Kind of asked before about like, how do you, you know, mess, you know, can you mess that up? That's actually one of the ways you can mess it up is actually by breaching that trust. And Sometimes I think it happens oftentimes, like you just said, like you're just thinking in passing and you're saying something and you catch yourself and go, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Or somebody says, oh my gosh, really? Mm-hmm. And then that's that illumination moment. Like, oh, I shouldn't have said that.
And how do you fix it? I mean, does it take years? Can it be fixed with a simple I'm sorry or note?
I think I am like I'm very direct. So like even when I bring people onto my network marketing team, when I do any kind of interaction with people, I always have the it's my little Sherry incantation that I do. I'm very direct. Here's what I'm going to ask of you, because I'm telling you this is me. And so I'm telling you how you need to interact with me. If you need something from me, you've got to ask. I'm not a mind reader. I'm not going to chase you. I don't, you know, it's not in my nature. My nature is to nurture, but I need to nurture you the way you need to. And if I ever say anything that makes you feel some kind of way that's not good, if you don't tell me, I will not know and I will not respond how you expect. Mm-hmm. I like literally lay the groundwork for that conversation right at the get-go when I meet somebody. And the reason is because I don't want to be responsible for somebody's either self-bullying or somebody's stuff that they're stuck in because like I didn't even know that what I said affected them in some way. So some people say I'm blunt. I said, I had to get up the word blunt and I'm like, what do you mean? And it means rude. And I said, no, thank you. I don't receive that.
Right. And I don't.
Actually, here's an example of it. I went to one of my very dear friends and I said, you know, you said that I'm blunt. And I said, I want to just have a conversation with you about this. I said, I don't receive that. I literally said that to her. I don't receive that. And I'm going to explain why, because it means that you are rude, that what you're sharing out is, you know, with a sort of a mean manner, I guess, if you will, or a cruel intention. And I said, if I say something that causes you to feel hurt, maybe I might suggest that you stop and think about why does this make me feel this way instead of why is Sherry saying that? And I said, the thing is, I said, I'm very direct. I don't sugarcoat anything. But I'm never intentionally hurtful to somebody. And so I said, I'd appreciate it if you don't use that word blunt because it's not who I am.
Right.
Okay. I get it. Yeah. She said, I would never say you're rude. I was like, right. So words matter and we have to be careful that we use them the way that we intend and what we mean. Also on the flip side of that, I stood up for myself, right? And said, wait, that's not me. And I don't accept that.
That's a good thing. And I think, well, I don't know what dictionary that came from. For me, that word had always meant somebody who's just direct. And it's a refreshing thing, I believe, to deal with somebody who is confident enough to be direct in their relationships, rather than somebody who may possibly be the passive aggressive person that just really irritates you.
I just told somebody that last week. I'm like, that was very passive aggressive. And I said, passive aggressiveness, unfortunately, I says, just because I know me, I said, and I told her, I said, I'm just telling you, it is my biggest pet peeve because it is an expression of someone desiring to say something, but not having the confidence or the compassion for the other person to say it. And I said, so it is the hardest thing for me to respect someone when that passive aggressiveness is there. It's also one of the reasons, Anne, that I am so intentional about being direct and clear. Because I never want you to have to fill in the blanks of what I mean. I want you to know what I mean.
Well, I've got to say, I am truly enjoying our conversation, Sherry Leopold. Unfortunately, we only have about 5 minutes left, and I'm going to have to get out of the way for the next show, which is hosted by my favorite young man on the planet, my sons, AJ and Alex Taylor. The Teens Talk Truth radio show. It'll be up right here at 12 o'clock noon. But before we go, I want Sherry to be able to tell you guys about how you can get her books, how you can watch her television shows. Congratulations on all of your accomplishments.
Thank you.
And just tell them more about you, how they can follow you on social media, all that.
Well, you can follow me on social media, all platforms, and actually even my website. It's just sherryleopold.com. Almost everything I do in every occasion with the Wow Warrior platform, the Stop Self-Bullying classes, the television, which airs on Legerty Media, Outside the Box with Sherry does, and that show I shine a light on great human beings doing amazing things by thinking outside the box is that's on Legerty. Media TV and everydaywomantv.com is where my Wow Warrior show airs, where I just, you know, interview people who, when they walk in a room, all you can say is wow. So those are some of the things. The Wild Warrior magazine drops for the first issue on March 15th,
awesome.
Celebrating Women's History Month. So you can find everything I'm doing at SherryLeopold.com, and I'm on all social media at SherryLeopold. So you all are in Sherry.
And it's an I, not a Y at the end.
Yes, S-H-E-R-R-I. And I always wished it was a Y because I like to draw, and I would make it into a Y and draw roses and stuff. But once again, it's probably why I say that the name thing is so important. That's mm-hmm. the name my mom and dad chose for me. So I embraced the I and made it fun in other ways with my doodling and drawing. So.
And tell them about the Love Anthology and Love Manifesto Anthology, how they can get the book.
Yes, and you can actually grab that at Amazon.com, and I wholly encourage it. It is such a thoughtful compilation of different viewpoints and different types of love. It is all things love, and Dr. Tangi Crossfield is such a beautiful human being, and she has put together such an incredible group of writers in here with all different passions. And I just really encourage you to pick the book up on Amazon.com and just absolutely fall in love with love. Love is everything.
It's going to be another wow moment. I guarantee you. It is definitely going to be another wow moment in your life. Sherry, thank you so much for being here today and spending time with us. I'm probably going to have you back for that self-bullying thing. I really do love that whole concept, especially.
I would love that because then I can teach your audience the snap.
Oh, yes.
I teach them how to snap out of it.
Yes. Look, she's already submitted it. I've got to know what the snap is now.
That's right. You do. Everybody does. It's part of the movement. It's why it's a movement, actually.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you again for being here. And that's my time, guys. Again, I'm going to get out of the way for the Teens Talk Truth radio show hosted by AJ and Alex Taylor, where they discuss hot topics affecting teens in our society today. And of course, Alex always explained what had happened was when they talk about these crazy science articles they find. And Alex explains it in a totally different perspective. So you don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. They'll be with you in just a moment. Have a blessed week, everybody.
All right. You. Excellent show, Ann. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And like she said, the Teens Talk Truth radio show come up in about 5 minutes. Have a great weekend, and I will see you tomorrow on the Boomerang Radio Show.
That's right. If you like what William and I do here for the first